Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Today, I had been promoted to captain. To captain?
It's just a crush.
Oh, Jennifer Page. Yeah. Where's my pepper spray?
There's a little thing from the vault of things that you'd rather forget.
Yeah. Pepper spray.
And on that note, welcome to the Cubby House for this week. I'm Jack, the young, effervescent one, which everybody wants to buy t-shirts with my face on.
Oh, with your face on. Oh, I thought you said something else. I'm Ryan. I'm the cool one that you wish that you were.
And I'm just Cookie, the one that has to put up with these two every week.
The one that you just don't want to take home to your mother.
Oh, thanks. I'm fine. My gear is another question.
Your gear?
My gear. The Dungeon Studio, as we record here on Friday nights.
Yes. Are we going to have like Big Brother Friday night games sort of thing, keep people occupied?
We will, coming up after the show.
Oh, really?
However, for this show, we will, first of all, trip into outer space, and it'll seem strange that Jack is now with us. You'll find out why in a second.
We'll also talk about what's the cutoff point for you becoming a cub, and when do you graduate to becoming a bear?
And we are going to talk about the Bear Cub movie and how I was outraged about how the Special Broadcasting Service censored our sexuality. All that and Vic Bear's events this week on the Cubby House podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome to the Cubby House this week.
Today we're going to talk about...
What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Come on. I can't believe it's 2009 and we're already out of ideas.
I know. Let's go into outer space.
Of course.
No, there is no way that I'm taking part in some stupid sci-fi parody, okay? No freaking way. I'm staying on the ground where it's safe and there's absolutely no way that you can convince me to take part.
Ryan?
What?
We'll let you be captain.
Okay, let's do it. Captain's Log, Earth Day, 8th of January, 2000X. On this day, we venture where no bear podcast has gone before. The Cubby House has gone into space. Luckily, Cookie had the Dungeon Studios retrofitted for space exploration for such an event. Today, I had been promoted to captain. Jack and Cookie have to call me sir and do whatever I say. I think I'll like this role.
Jack, press the red button.
What red button?
You know, the big red button, the one in the middle of the room.
How come I never noticed that before this sketch?
Now hold on, Jack. I'm the captain, and I choose when to push the button, okay? Can you push the button, Jack?
Oh, sure. Yes, sir.
Good evening, passengers.
What the hell is this?
It's part of the ship's software.
Thank you for flying on the Cubimoto 1200. Please pay attention to the following safety instructions, even if you fly with us often. Firstly, make sure your seatbelt is properly tightened and situated carefully on your person. You'll know that your seatbelt is incorrectly if you hear a click. Secondly, please ensure your baggage is either under your seat or safely secured in the proper compartment. In the event of explosive decompression of the cabin, there are spacesuits in the compartment to the right. Please make sure that you fit your own suit before attending to other passengers or children. Your spacesuit comes equipped with 2 hours' worth of oxygen, a flashlight, a radiation shield, and a whistle. Please be aware of all the exits on board. There may be one right behind you. Not that it really matters. If anything goes wrong, you're fucked. We'll be commencing launch in just a moment. In the meantime, please sit back and relax, and thank you for flying on the Cubimoto 1200.
Hey, this music's kinda catchy.
Commencing countdown. Engines on.
Check ignition, and may God's love be with you. Hold on, everyone. This is going to be a rough ride.
Welcome to space. The local temperature is 2.7 Kelvin.
I'm floating. Dude, Jack, this is awesome. Give me a readout.
Yes, sir. Oxygen, 100%. 3 tons, frozen. Food supply, 100%. 2 tons, frozen. 2 dehydrated. Lubricant supply, 5 tons.
We should have packed more.
Defensive shield, 5 watts. Fuel supply, 1,200.
1,200 what?
Hell if I know. Oh! We seem to have a small problem. There seems to be a problem with the structural integrity of the hull. 80%. 77%. 44%. Captain, this is a serious problem. 22%. Captain!
What was that? Sorry, I was too busy getting into this emergency suit. What were you talking about?
I'm having some trouble with my suit. Can you zip me up?
You guys, where's the last suit? There's supposed to be 3 suits. All I see are 2. And what the hell is this? Cookie, a bear costume?
I can only afford 2 spacesuits. Where do you think we are, Beetalk? Besides, it is my dungeon.
2%.
Oh no, here comes a vacuum of space!
Ah! My eyes! My eyes! They hurt so much!
Oh, let's pop your eyes imploding.
Try and relax, Jack. Just breathe in, okay? No, you're doing it all wrong, okay? Just breathe in, alright? Like me, like this.
Jack, your head!
What happened?
It appears that the debris from your skull and brain is frozen on impact with the side of the hull, creating a plug. It doesn't look like it'll hold for very long.
Do we have any sealant?
No, sir.
What have we got?
Lubricant. Lots and lots of lubricant.
I think I've got an idea. Come with me to the galley.
With all due respect, sir, I don't think now is an appropriate time.
No, you idiot. Do you have any cornstarch?
What are you doing?
I'm making my own sealant. One pot of water and one tub of cornstarch. Give it some heat, and then we're done. And that's really thick. Cookie, take this and apply this over the plug in the cabin.
Who would have thought that a personal lubricant would actually end up saving us from a hole of infinite depth and zero pressure?
Captain's log. With our hole in the hull sealed, we are free to breathe and watch X-Tube, and with Jack dead, our listenership went way up. Unfortunately, because of the ship's compromised structural integrity, we cannot make the voyage back to Earth without burning up on re-entry. And one thing is for sure, I hate science fiction.
It's funny we speak of cubs because mm-hmm. when you look in a bar, say the Laird, for instance, you know how we used to, as kids, play, you know, duck, 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 goose?
Yes.
It's like cub, 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 bear. Spot the bear on the nights we go, anyway, because we all go and it's just young guys mostly, isn't it?
Yeah, but if somebody, hit me on the back and said bear and then run away, I'd think he was a freak. I wouldn't try to chase after him and tag him.
Oh, good. You sure you wouldn't want to chase after him just to knock him to the ground?
Yes. Hand me my pepper spray.
So where are you going with this?
Where is the definition from the label of a cub to the label of a bear? Does one graduate? Does one ever graduate? Or is just one is?
Well, I think there are people that just, like, even conversely, they don't even fall into either category. Like a friend of mine, he's late 30s and he's got a shaved head and he's got a goatee and he wears leather, but I doubt that you could call him either a cub or a bear. As far as graduation goes, is it an age thing? I used to think that. I used to look online and I think people that were over, say, 35, for example, if they were a cub, I'd be like, yeah, no, you're not. You're a bear now. But you also got to keep in mind that the word cub is also
can be used as a submissive word. Like, for example, you have a daddy-son relationship, you have a bear-cub relationship. The bear's the top, the cub's the bottom. But it's just that we've assumed that bear is the older version of a cub.
You keep on talking about this graduation. I'm curious now. Just have your fuzzy mortarboard on top of your head and getting your sheepskin. Congratulations, you've worked hard these long, long 9, 10, 12 years you've been here. You've sucked a lot of cock to get here, and this is how we want to repay you. Congratulations, you can now put bear, quote-unquote, onto your profile. Thank you.
Well, that's another thing, is the amount of guys you've slept with in comparison to, say, how many animals a bear or a cub has killed to graduate to bear status, is how many cocks you've sucked or screwed with. Do you reckon that's relevant?
So you're saying it's a matter of prestige, if that's what you're going on about.
Could it? Could it be?
Maybe the stud slut sort of thing, yes, but not bear cub, I think.
So what about just the sheer attitude? Is there a difference between a cub attitude and a bear attitude?
I think in certain circumstances, I really think it depends on the person. I think I don't think there are very differences with the bear. I think it's just more of a generation gap with the bear and the cub. The cubs seem to be more sort of easygoing, and the bears are sort of, you know, they work harder and they play harder, I guess. Or, you know, I think it's just, I don't know what I think. Cubs are cute, bears are hot, it's all good. Play with them all.
Now, I came up with an idea while I was thinking about this topic last night, that I was thinking that the minute that you probably realize that you're a bear probably is when you've been attending a certain venue for however long and the younger clientele suddenly come up to you and start referring to you as Mr. or Sir. That's the idea that I have. It might not necessarily be the right one.
Yeah, but by the same token, I have been referred to as Sir by some people since I was 16.
Mm.
It's all, as far as that reference goes, as we've spoken of before, it's all about respecting somebody else, whether it be for their age or experience or how they approach you. It's, yeah, I don't think it's a matter of whether you're a bear or a cub.
But I don't call my peers exactly sir. It's a thing that says that, hey, I'm down here and you're up there. So it denotes a slight difference in status.
I guess it could, but I mean, like, say, for example, if you're working in a profession where if you're working, for example, in a five-star restaurant or a five-star hotel, you're more inclined to call people sir or madam and things like that. Or if you're working with Cookie, you definitely call him madam.
Ooh.
He's biting his tongue hard. He's drawing
blood.
He's
going to explode.
I'm just wondering where I put the dice, actually.
Why is that a flaggable comment?
Excellent. Right, just here. So long as I know where it is.
Oh, great. Just going to throw it at my head in a minute. But again, I think it's probably just more of a generation gap sort of thing. I mean, I call sir, you know, to people, you know, just as a joke. Like, for example, I call up some people champ or some people mate. It's just
even though they
things.
are obviously not quite champions.
Well, exactly. Because, you know, obviously we are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on fighting to the end. How is that a flaggable comment?
He's getting antsy.
Where does it say anything about quoting Queen songs in it? Oh.
I think that Cookie's just a bit tense because he's going to be showering semi-naked in an icy cold shower, which you can view on this stream or on YouTube if that is of your liking. But it doesn't seem as though there is like a hard and fast rule when it comes to this thing. That I think it for some point comes with an air of experience to it.
Are you looking forward to becoming a bear, Jack?
I've got a lot of time to enjoy being a cub.
Yes, you do.
It gets a lot more difficult to try and get drinks out of people.
What I would like to know is, obviously in Australia we think of a bear and a cub as a matter of age.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and ask most people without being too specific, a lot of the answers I think you'll get is it's all about age. I'd like to find out, say, in America, where, believe it or not, the bear culture has only really started in the last 30 to 40 years. So the constructs of what is a bear and what is a cub is still in its very infant stage of, you know, a general social understanding. And seeing as it seemed to develop in America and then just spread worldwide from there, I'd like to think where they, as a society, sit with what's a bear and what's a cub. Because I personally come from the belief, and Vic Bears kind of emulates that in their motto. It's about the attitude.
Yeah.
It's all about how you want to go about your life. If you want to know that, you know, want to shag around, act like a kid for the rest of your life, you know, that's where your mind is, then you're a cub through and through. You could be 70 and still be a cub in mind. But a bear is someone who I perceive as they look at life as a whole. They say, well, I'd like to settle down with somebody who's become mature about how they approach life and doesn't necessarily need to go out, get pissed and go partying every night just to enjoy life in general.
So are you saying that the three of us being cubs, that we're immature sluts?
Yeah, I'm appalled. We should flag them.
Speak for yourself, Cookie. God.
Well, no, but by the same token, we're, as far as us three go, I think we're somewhere in the middle now. We're starting to
look a bub.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or sounds a care.
Good. Yeah. A cares. Cares. I like that one. We look at life in a very mature light, but we still like to go out and socialize and, well, at least for Jack and I, play around.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Well, you've settled down with your husband at this rate, so.
Yeah. Thanks. Make it sound so freaking boring. Yeah, we go to bed at 7 with a mug of Horlicks and, you know, watch Murder, She Wrote episodes and with a cat on our lap.
But the thing about identity politics is that I've said this before, but it's a two-way street, that you come to identify something as a negotiation between being called something, or in academic terms, interpolated as something, and coming to think of that for yourself. So if you keep on being told that you are a bear, then eventually you are likely to come to think of yourself as that.
Amen to that.
But you've actually got to hold that thing for yourself. Otherwise, you kind of think, these people are full of shit. What are they on about? Mm. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about people in the gay community that would happen to have a quote bear unquote body and have certain masculine mannerisms, but they're like, bear, I'm not one of those. So it's all about a matter of self-association as well as being hailed or interpolated as such. So the same should apply to the cub bear thing.
Well, speaking of bear cub labels, Jack, you're in a quite fortunate position.
I am.
You are. Because you're, like, quite thin, you could be considered an otter.
I never thought of myself that way.
And because you've got red hair, you could also be considered as a fox.
Cool.
So you've just got labels coming out of every orifice, basically.
Yeah, labels are for jam. I've got one label around my collar, and a neck chain that says cub, and that'll do for me. I hear these labels like polar bear and panda bear and koala, and it's like, seriously, lighten up.
How many bears are there? It's like, you're a bear. That's it. Can we just leave it at that?
It's like you're being very taxonomical about it, and it's like you. If you go any further, you're probably going to have the Greek or the Latin names under it, just to make sure that you've got...
Ursus Enormous or something.
Can I be a drop bear?
And what does a drop bear do?
Is that like a drop kick kind of bear or...?
No, that's normally where you drop on a pole, happily.
Oh.
All right, I want to flag now.
We're flagging. Yeah,
excellent.
Wow.
All right, we're going to let you throw the dice at Cookie.
Throw it at me.
No, you go right ahead, Jack.
All right, I've got the dice in my hand and I've got it ready to throw. I've thrown it. It hit him, and it is a...
It's a six.
Oh. He gets out scot-free.
Yeah, I so hate gotcha. You right now.
Gotcha.
The dice is loaded. Do it again.
No, that's the rules.
I had luck on my side. There we go.
Yeah, whatever. I was thinking of another four-letter word, but anyway.
So, conclusions.
They're great, aren't they? Yes. Labels. Well, it's quite ironic, isn't it? We scream and spend half our lives saying we don't want to be labeled as this, that, and the other, and yet we're doing it ourselves. We're labeling ourselves. We feel comfortable to label ourselves, but we just don't want other people to label us.
I say that because there's some negative connotations with a label as well, and we don't like to think of ourselves in a bad way unless we're really hamming it up for a particular point. I personally don't always like to be called a bear, but I am. I associate with the bear community as it is, and I just feel that as much as I'd like to think we label ourselves to include people, it's also so we can isolate people for quicker reference.
That's true. I mean, like what you were saying before, Jack, if somebody said, oh, there's a cute panda bear over there, I'd be like, what, does he eat bamboo shoots or something? I don't understand the reference. But when you say, oh, there are many types of bears, there's this bear, this bear, this bear, you immediately know what a panda bear is. Just that when you're referring it to somebody, you have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, it's the nature of labels that they are at the same time both divisive but also include people into certain groups. So without labels, there wouldn't be any wouldn't be such thing as nationalism because, well, Australian is a label.
It is.
I mean, just because you occupy a particular geographic mass doesn't really mean anything other than symbolically, really. And the same could apply to a lot of other labels. But it's when that people start living so avidly with these labels that it just binds their entire lifestyle. Well, I mean, I say get a life.
I'm quite happy being a cub. Are you, Cookie?
Yes.
Mm. Yourself, Jack?
Oh, I am very happy.
So we're three out and proud cubs. And are we looking forward to becoming bears, growing up and wandering out of the cave?
I think once I get my own den and my own husbear, I won't say no.
Oh. Watch this space, people.
Watch this space.
And Jack?
Me, am I looking forward to becoming a bear?
To graduating to become a bear?
Have
you got Peter Pan syndrome where you're like, no, I want to stay young and beautiful forever?
Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's like the movie Big.
Only a bear.
Only I'm not Tom Hanks, I'm cute.
SBS versus Bear Cub.
That's right. A couple of weeks ago, the Special Broadcasting Service, also known as the SBS, also known as Australia's nationwide pornography provider over the 10 p.m. on Saturday nights, has recently screened the movie Bear Cub, which is a Spanish film, am I right? It's based
in... Yeah, that's right, Spanish.
That is about a single man that gets his sister's boy and has to take care of him and all the hilarity and heartache that comes with that. If you haven't seen it, well, we're going to have to take your bear card away from you.
Yes, so, like me. I haven't seen it, but I will happily go along. Look, to clarify, it's her son, not her boy. Yes, the sister's son, not the sister's boy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think like that. Like, I don't think the way you do.
Well, just to clarify in case somebody does.
I think, like, probably 99% of the people out there who hadn't seen it understand that we were referring it to his son. But thank you for clarifying that for us, Cookie.
Yes. So what else needs editing? Or has been?
Well, I remember the first time I saw it, I bought it. It was at JB Hi-Fi and I saw Bear Cub, rated R. Gay section, cha-ching, taking it home. So I bought it, came home, and I was living with two girls at the time, and I put it on the widescreen TV with the 5.1 Dolby surround sound, and the first 5 minutes is a sex scene. Woo-hoo. So they and the neighbours and their neighbours and probably the next suburb just heard munting and groaning and foreplay in Spanish. And
it was there was that slow... porno music as well going at the same time.
And it wasn't like cheesy bump chicka wow wow kind of music neither. It was, yes. However, there is a scene that of course has us all drooling, which is of a penis which is hard and about to have a condom rolled over the top of it, which was edited out of the film. And Jack, you were outraged, weren't you?
That's right. I have a bone to pick with SBS, and particularly...
Pardon
with...
the pun?
Is that one that doesn't involve demonstrating safe sex?
Well, no. It's just the fact that I've seen this movie, I like it, and it has been cleared in its entirety for the DVD release, but not for the broadcast release on SBS or any other particular broadcaster that wants to be daring enough to show a film in a different language. It's generally considered... poor form for national or just any type of broadcaster to show an erect penis. I think the cutoff point is about at a 45 degree angle. That's about the cutoff point, but generally poor form officially. I'm very much against censorship, and seeing that it did promote a safe same-sex message, that it irritates me. that people are watching a watered-down version of the film. And apparently there was something wrong with the subtitles as well for the broadcast edition.
Yes, I was watching the movie and I remember reading the subtitles on the DVD and they were different.
Different?
It seemed almost that like SBS had kind of watered it down. Now, I don't know... I don't speak Spanish, so I can't, you know, be 100% on this. But it just seemed that either, you know, they were watering things down, or there could have been possibly a different dialect or something like that, and the SBS people were more accurate. But it would seem to me that people who were affiliated with the film, their subtitles would be a lot more accurate, and either the people on the DVD are screwed up, they can't speak Spanish, or SBS need to hire new staff to translate.
So, to the Special Broadcasting Service, all we have to say is shame, shame, shame.
We just have Darren Hinch there?
I want to know, what's the difference between having an erect cock shot, and what's the difference between having, like, on normal television, like Channel 9, for example, a vagina? What's the difference?
I don't think you see an awful lot of either.
But I mean, I just don't get it. It's like, what time was the movie on? It was like nearly midnight.
No, it was like 1 a.m. It was really late.
It was really late. And people who, like, I mean, immediately you see, like, pictures of men together. You hear moaning and grunting. You're going to assume that it's a gay film. It says in SBS, gay stuff is going on in this film. I don't think that was the technical blurb for it. But anyway, you're going to assume that if people don't want to watch this, like, for example, if I don't want to watch a straight sex scene, I'm going to flick over. I don't know why. I don't understand the editing, why they had to take it out. If you're offended by nudity, if you're offended by cock shots, don't watch it.
Could I go one step further and understanding that the main character has HIV?
That's correct.
Seeing him have sex in the introduction scene?
It wasn't him.
He wasn't him. He was in a three-way and he had finished and the other two guys were still going at it.
Right. However, do we know the other two guys had HIV or not?
No.
They didn't, or we don't know?
We don't know.
Okay. So, you're assuming that you've got two guys potentially have HIV.
But you see them around, you see them having sex. You just don't see the condom putting
exactly.
on.
Exactly. This is where I am.
But you
now
do see them, like, he rips the condom off and you know, you don't actually see him, you know, put it on.
Okay, so we do know that there was a condom.
Yeah, there was.
Regardless of whether that cock shot was seen or not.
You see him reaching over for a condom, you see it ripping in his teeth and
okay.
You just don't see it being
I wanted to clarify
off.
That because the other argument I would have is having sex with potentially or known HIV people. There is a big phobia about that. I know as a negative HIV man, a lot of people who I speak to who are positive either A, just don't want to have sex with me because they prefer bareback and don't want to infect. But then you've got the other reverse role who you have positive people who are surprised that I might want to play with somebody who's positive because so long as it's safe, completely and utterly safe and understood, that somebody who is HIV negative would want to play with them because of the big phobia of how it's transmitted and perhaps the misunderstanding.
It's the opening cut of the film. I don't think that that's really a valid argument.
Well, it's perhaps had they not shown any condom scene whatsoever, or condom within that scene whatsoever, it could be doing more harm than good because they could have been promoting
safe sex.
Or
barebacking.
Bareback sex with HIV people.
Yeah.
HIV people.
Have you HIV positive people?
Thank you.
Sorry, you and I have only just done our research and understood the scale of how HIV is measured too, so shame on me. But it's how far do you go in editing scenes before what you're showing is actually promoting more harm than good?
Well, if we're talking about a character which is HIV positive, as I said, a condom was involved, so I think that that's important. And I mean, like, after he's done, he sort of rolls off and you can see, like, out of the corner of it, he's kind of getting rid of it.
Right.
So,
if those weren't in the movie, though, do you still think it would have been relevant to take out that scene where they're actually putting the condom on a fully erect penis?
I think that I honestly don't think it matters. The plot line is it's nothing to do with sex. It's to do with the fact that his nephew has come to stay with him. The sex is just like five. It's not even 2 minutes of the film. I think that if it was promoting, I don't think it would promote barebacking. I don't think, you know, I mean, people are arguing about promoting smoking in film, so I doubt very much that they're going to promote illegal sex theft.
Yeah, the whole argument I'm trying to make is, which is the more evil, a demon promoting HIV people barebacking.
HIV
to be positive people. Where's that friggin' dice?
It's for being a dumb head. It's a number one, so we've got to slap him again.
You can slap me again. Come on.
We need a flat instrument. Somebody get me a spatula or something. All right. Ryan's leaving the studio. He's getting something.
While you guys are doing that, I'll explain. It's which is the more evil a demon? Promoting HIV positive people barebacking? Or is it promoting a cock shot which shows a condom being rolled onto a fully erect penis? Which is the more eviler?
All right, he's got the two. Got a spatula. Go at it. Right near the microphone.
I'm not slapping your hand. Bend over.
Oh, sweet.
Ah! Oh, that one must sting.
Well, sure you'll see.
That was for all you HIV people, in inverted commas.
Yes, right.
I think down in the bowels of SBS in Federation Square, that it's not an issue about promoting HIV or barebacking. It's a matter of codes of practice, where if you do show an erect penis, then that can be considered as pornography / erotica.
I guess so. But I mean, it's the SBS. If it was Channel 9, totally, I can understand. But it's SBS, where they have a lot worse things on there.
And they do have some more leeway of the codes of practice because of the content which they produce on air, as opposed to Channel 9 or any other Channel 10, Channel 7, any other major stations that are primarily for commercial viewing, as opposed to a community viewing sense.
Well, I think that the final word that I want to say on this subject is that the penis is a beautiful thing. Don't hide
it's like a flower.
Don't hide it.
Well, you can hide it, you know, in certain places. That's okay.
Touché.
Or tushy or whatever.
That whether it be at a 20%, 40%, or even at a 120 degree angle, there's no need to snip it out.
They were promoting safe sex. I think the scene should have stayed. It was only a quick, I don't know, 2-minute scene. It should have stayed.
Besides, with all the queer people tuning in, I think that little thing got so many people into that film. And it was only after about half an hour, I was like, wait a minute, this isn't as hot as they made it out to be. So, last words.
Well, if they're going to cut that scene out, I hope that when they air 28 days later with the guy in the hospital and he's naked and you see his cock, he's not hard, but you still see his cock. I hope that scene gets edited out. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, I say.
What is happening for the rest of the month? For the VIP Bears, from our illustrious representative, Rhino Ryan.
Cookie, give us a fanfare. That was a great fanfare.
That was an awesome fanfare.
Sweet.
Wow, thank you so much. Well, because summer's here, all the men are getting hot and sweaty and, you know, it's a long weekend, so of course we're getting rambunctious and we want to go out and play with other bears and cubs. But of course we want to play safe. So we've got a few bear events on. Of course we had Midsummer, which was awesome. We had Bear Nation the day before that, which was awesome. We've got Underbear coming up.
Now what is an Underbear party for all those people that don't know English and put the two words together?
Well, Underbear party is obviously a bear party which is in your underwear. I know. Imagine, stop the presses, as you would say, Jack. Imagine just going to a pub and hanging out with guys and your mates and getting sloshed and doing all your thing that you normally do. However, you know, it's like that dream that you have when everybody's in their underwear.
Or it's like that trick that you have with public speaking. Just pretend they're in their underwear.
So you don't have to, because everybody is.
And yeah, it's a good thing.
Is that going to be including you this time around?
I will be there. I actually went out yesterday and I purchased a pair of underwear to wear, because as you know, I don't wear underwear. So there you go.
Sweet. Where is
and
it?
Then it's at the Laird.
Yes.
At the Laird, of course. I don't know what time it starts. Probably about 8, 9 p.m. onwards. Go for it. We'll just rock up in your underwear anyway. I'm sure people wouldn't turn you away. Unless they're, you know, not clean, and then maybe they will. And then the next day, on Australia Day, we have Bear Soup, which is, of course, at Wet on Wellington. It's basically, I've had a lot of people going, oh, I don't want to go there because you have to be naked. It's not a nude event at all. It's like a... I know,
you
I'm
can
really
be naked
so...
if you want to. Yeah. If you're that desperate to get your kid off, well...
well,
we're not gonna, stop
thing.
You.
Yeah. It's basically a bear... pool party. We're going to have a barbie and there'll be plenty of food for all. So, and because it's so damn hot down here in Melbourne during this summer, of course, so bear soup, get in the pool, have a bit of a splash around, and if you want to, get your kid off and go upstairs and bang like bunnies.
And don't actually drink the bear soup.
No. It's not part of Delia Smith's cookery, I don't believe, or Jamie Oliver's, or...
Furball.
And then the next Saturday, we've got our den night, which is usually free. It's just a usual night where we have our raffles and we meet all the other Vic Bears members and things like that. Starts on from about 7 p.m. till late. So hope to see you there. Well, you. What about you guys? Are you going to Underbear? Are you going to Bear Soup? What's happening?
Underbear, yes. Bear Soup, don't know. I'm still undecided, just time constraints.
But you get to be naked with bears.
Yeah, but you don't.
And there's food.
Yeah, but you don't.
So. I don't because I'm a Vic Bear member, so I have to actually do stuff. I have to work and things.
So what's the point in going if you're not going to be naked?
Well, there might be other people there.
You'd better work. Wet your lips and make love to the camera.
Wow, that's almost flaggable.
No, that is flaggable.
Oh,
dice, please.
Here we go. Five.
Five is a dare challenge.
What are you going to dare me to do? I'm scared. You haven't thought this far ahead, haven't you?
No, we have not. It's just, yeah, you rolled a five.
How about I tap my head and rub my belly at the same time?
No, because you know you can do that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Plus, we need something that the listeners can hear.
Maybe we should invite the other people that are outside the studio for their input.
We'll come back to your challenge
or just gonna
in just a
are
moment.
Are you just going to dare me to get into that shower with Cookie?
Excellent. I like it. Okay, let's do that.
Done.
It was my plan all along, Jack says.
So, final event for the Vic Bears for this month era is?
Well, of course, we have Pride March, which is on the 1st of February. I think we are about 35 or something in the line. But, of course, you know, it's Pride March. Everybody's welcome. Hope to see everybody there.
And you can come and see our wonderful faces walking either with Joy 94.9 or with Vic Bears, or just in the crowd humbly admiring everybody walking past and taking happy snaps.
Yes, that's it. Getting smashed and bagging people that, you know, are fashion victims, the straights.
Some of them. Yes.
And where is the Pride March, actually?
It normally is carried out along Fitzroy Street in St Kilda.
In St Kilda.
And ends in a big, wonderful party down on the beach. Or down on the park near the beach.
Well, as all Pride Marches should end, really.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. That'll start off at 4 p.m.
It will.
On Sunday, the 1st of February.
So you've no excuse to say you can't see the Cubby House boys out, because we're everywhere, just in Melbourne.
Yes.
So if you're not in Melbourne, then you might have an excuse. But
and if you run up and be the third person to say, hey, you're Jack from the Cubby House, well, I might just reward you with a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, and which cheek?
Yeah. And if you say, I'm Cookie from the Cubby House, be the fourth person, you get a slap in the face. Oh. And then
that's just
the pash.
Rude.
And if you just come up to me and say, hey, Ryan, I heard you on the Cubby House, I'll give you a hug and a kiss. I don't care what number you are. I'll still do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ryan.
What?
I love your voice in the Cubby House.
I love your voice in the Cubby House.
No, this is... I didn't say I love your voice. I just said, hi, Ryan, I heard you in the Cubby House. And what? This is a Pride March, you know. If you're between, you know, now and then, it doesn't count. You have to do a Pride March.
Just like your sensual massage. Is one day only. Meh.
Conditions apply.
Yes. One night only.
All right. For this week, I am Jack, the cute
you're
one.
Close.
And I don't have a big head at all.
No.
No, not at all.
It's quite small. I don't feel vulnerable about it. I'm secure in my masculinity. Shut up!
Wow, I feel really awkward for you right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling the anti-love.
I'm Ryan the Dag, and I think everything's funny and stuff, so I hope you all have a wonderful week.
And pay pity to me, Cookie, who has to put up with these two every week.
You love it.
I know. I love you too.
Ta-ra, everybody.
See you next time.
Kisses.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.